A little stormy Monday out there as we sit in the Allstate Showcase studio. A little bit later in the second half of the program, we'll talk to Shiraz Mian, the director of research at Zacks Investment Research, about the earnings report that's kicking off in earnest this week. So he's got a lot to say about there. What we might expect, we'll be looking at bank stocks and things like that. Randy Schaefer comes by. And as I said, one of the things I want to talk to her about is Facebook's plan to build a town like 1,500 homes because of the huge housing crunch there. But we start on Mondays with the boys from Chicago Inno, usually, sometimes a girl too. Jim Dahlke and Will Flanagan are in the studio. Welcome back, boys.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, so where do you want to start? Tell me about this Kickstarter Gold, because I'm not sure I quite understand.
Yeah, Kickstarter Gold's a cool program. So Kickstarter is the biggest crowdfunding platform out there. If you have a project, you have a campaign, you can host it on Kickstarter and raise funds that way from friends, family, and just people who discover your project and want to support it and back it. So what Kickstarter is doing, I mean, they've been around for over a decade. They're running this month-long program called Kickstarter Gold, which is kind of a relaunching of some of their favorite products. They've basically gone through their archive, looked at some of their most successful projects of all time, reached out to the people behind them and said, hey, let's do something new. Let's do kind of a 2.0 to get excitement back. And there are five Chicago projects on there that have been selected for Kickstarter Gold. One, I'm sure if you've walked around the city, you've seen and maybe didn't know it was a crowdfunding campaign, but the You Are Beautiful sign.
Matthew Shepard, right?
Matthew Hoffman.
I'm sorry. Matthew Shepard's a very different story. Matthew Hoffman was with us in the Pride Parade, the WGN float. Yeah, the whole You Are Beautiful thing.
Yeah, I love those signs. It's one of those things where it's simple, it's effective. It always makes me laugh every time I walk by it. And you think, like, come on, it's just a silver sign that says You Are Beautiful, but it's great. And that is kind of what Kickstarter's for. That is an idea that to put big public art installations in multiple places, you need funding. And maybe that's an idea that's a hard sell to a traditional capital infuser like a bank. But it's something where you see it on the internet, you say, man, I believe in this. Here's $20, here's $40, and that's how it takes off.
And he wants to do a major installation in every state, right? That's what he's trying to raise.
Exactly, here. And that's kind of what this whole gold platform is all about. It's about sort of taking existing successful projects, tweaking them, making them even better, and kind of blowing them up across the board. So there are a handful of really interesting Chicago projects that have already proven to be extremely popular. They're getting needed little upgrades that are going to make them even better. So it's pretty cool to kind of see these Chicago-made projects go to the masses even better.
I want to run through this. So, one more. This Forno oven, the oven for bread.
Yeah, really cool. We covered this when it first launched on Kickstarter in 2015. Husband and wife team that loved making bread, but they thought it was annoying and they didn't want to buy a bread maker. So they created this kind of attachment that goes in your oven that makes it easier to make bread. And now they're coming back with the Forno Bread Oven 2.0.
All right. So we'll watch for that. And this campaign runs through the month?
Runs through the month. Yep.
And then after that, Amazon will own it because Amazon will own everything.
That's as good a tech prediction as you can make these days.
Mayor Emanuel was at a groundbreaking or opening today Google's opening, or Amazon rather, opening new downtown offices, right? They're bringing in quite a number of workers.
By saying Google instead of Amazon, did you just let something slip? Is that what you guys are going to talk about in Q2 earnings?
Exactly.
You know something we don't?
I don't want to say yet. Tune in for the second half.
Yeah, but I mean, Amazon Chicago office, 200 folks, going to double that to 400 in a few years. So really, Amazon kind of really doubling down on its Chicago efforts. We talk about a lot of the warehouses that are opening around here, so you can get your Amazon drone delivery someday in 10 minutes or whatever it's going to be. But now they're showing a corporate presence here as well.
What's funny about kind of the recent role that Amazon's on with the Whole Foods purchase, and they acquire Whole Foods, and everyone's like, oh, there goes the whole grocery industry. And the narrative is kind of, once Amazon gets involved, watch out, industry. And we kind of forget, Jim, like, when we started about 3 years ago, one of the biggest tech jokes was the Fire Phone. Remember Amazon's, like, foray into the smartphone and gadgets? And they were just like, 0 for 6, 0 for 7. They were selling the Fire Phone for $1. And it was kind of like a huge tech joke. Like, oh, Amazon, you little diaper seller trying to do tech. And now it's like, if they dip their toes into the water, the pool's
everyone
over.
Just assumes that they're going to take over.
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting what 3 years have made with Amazon, where it's just like, you know, these kind of world beaters.
Well, you guys do have a piece about how they could come in and maybe disrupt a couple of Chicago startups.
It's just within the last couple of weeks, some major announcements from Amazon really should have two kind of Chicago tech giants sort of shaking in their boots a little bit, right? Like, one obviously is Grubhub when, as Will mentioned, Amazon went and acquired Whole Foods. Whole Foods obviously doesn't do exactly what Grubhub does, but this is really a $14 billion investment in food and in food delivery. So anybody who's in this sort of tech food delivery space needs to be a little concerned. And you kind of saw that with happening last month with Grubhub stock. It was kind of going up and down as investors and analysts sort of were wondering, what can we really expect? Another one that kind of flew under the radar was Amazon Wardrobe, which is a tech service that is basically Trunk Club. This is a try clothes on at your house in a box delivery service, keep what you want, send back what you don't want. And the advantage that Amazon has here is this is a free service that they're offering to their Prime members, meaning there's not a styling fee that you
right.
get with
Trunk Club. You got to pay $25 or something.
Exactly. And there are Stitch Fix and other startups doing some similar stuff.
So what does a growing presence of Amazon in Chicago mean to Chicago? Does it mean more focus here, or is it just a centrally located place to put people?
I mean, I think Amazon knows how important the Chicago market is. So when people are ordering everyday essentials that they want to get in an hour or less, you know, these prime deliveries, they want to have a big presence in Chicago because there are a lot of people here who are going to use a lot of those services.
Yeah, and Bezos has this philosophy about his business where, you know, what is the one thing about Amazon that's never not going to be important? Getting things to you quickly. And Chicago, just from a proximity standpoint, is going to help them achieve that.
You think Bezos will be at your Chicago Fest later this month?
99% sure, yes.
Okay, we'll talk about that. And probably I'll bring him down from his cloud because I don't think he'll be there.
He can use promo code Bezos for a half-off ticket.
But you guys have great events. It's one of the reasons I like talking to you.
Oh, and Steve.
And so tell me about this Chicago Fest. You know, there used to be a Chicago Fest. You used to run it on Navy Pier. Jane Byrne was the mayor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was 1.0. Now this is 2.0.
Yeah. I mean, if you know anything about Inno, which is a word that nobody can pronounce correctly, we are okay at names. So Chicago Fest is not the most creative name for an event, but it's one of my favorites because it's by far the most social event we do. Big outdoors, food trucks, live music, drinks, lawn games. Most of the meetups we do throughout the year, Steve, as you know, Women in Inno, Travel Inno, Maker Inno, where we really kind of dive deep into a specific industry, trend, company, or theme. In this, we're kind of like, hey, thanks for reading us for a year. Let's come hang out and connect. And there's so much cool stuff happening throughout the city. This is a way to get those innovators and entrepreneurs outside letting loose for a couple hours.
So you've got lawn games or jarts. Anyone going to play jarts?
We could.
Really?
Do you
remember what
like
jarts
lead,
are?
Would you like to lead the
I'll be the target. Okay, so you're having this outdoor festival.
Yeah, you can learn about it on ChicagoInno.com. It's August
16th.
Yes.
That's why we like Dalkey.
Yeah, and it's going to be at Gallery Marchetti in kind of the West Loop.
Kind of a cool, very
North
cool
area.
Spot.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, and it's sort of the very small kind of programming element. We're also holding the Coolest Companies competition, which we do every year, where companies nominate based on, you know, if they have a great office atmosphere, a great company, a workplace culture, and then there's sort of voting that happens, and we get the winners of the Coolest Company competition at the event.
Yeah, what I like about the Coolest Companies competition is one of the, you know, because of the companies we cover, which can be two-person student startups all the way to Fortune 100s, right? Company culture and office spaces is going to be different between a garage or a dorm room or your mom's house and, you know, this amazing office space. But that's not necessarily culture. Culture is if you dig your company,
right,
that's really cool. So we just want to learn about why you like what you do. And then we kind of read all of these submissions. I think we're over 150 right now. And it's really neat when you get people thinking outside of just, oh, free snacks, or I love the beanbag, really thinking about why they
jarts,
like working. Jarts, right? We have free jarts.
Jarts doesn't work for everyone. But there's a deadline coming up. July
15th. Yes, thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
This Thursday, if you enjoy working for your company, go to ChicagoInno.com and tell us why. We'd love to hear it and share it with our readers.
All right, so there's that. Real quick, we've got about a minute left, but I want to talk about Market Square.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when I was in my 20s, I bought a beautiful roll-top desk from Roy's Furniture up on Sheffield, naked. I mean, there was no finish on the
Oh, the desk was no.
Okay, I see we're out of time. And I refinished it just with great, you know, I really did a nice job on it. I've had it for 30 years, loved it. Well, you know, it was a roll-top. There weren't desktop computers then, literally. Or they were just coming in. Anyway, it's just not been very functional since. Mm-hmm. And moved it from room to room. I finally donated it to the Salvation Army last week, and I really kind of miss it because I just loved it. It seems to me like this Market Square might have been an arena to sell my desk.
Yeah, Market Square is an e-commerce site based here in Chicago that is basically a place to sell gently used luxury furniture. So think of this as kind of a better way to sell your really nice piece of furniture rather than having to go through kind of Craigslist and deal with all of that. They sort of handle all the logistics for you. You submit your furniture. If they accept it, they think it's worth selling on their site. They'll come get it for you, take a picture for it, and you'll get 60% of the profit.
And what I like is that they pick it up. It's kind of smart on their part. Yeah. So they pick it up, they'll take it out of your house, and now it's gone. If it doesn't sell, you can just donate it or come back and pick it up.
Exactly. And then on the other end, when you're buying furniture off the site, they'll do the white glove delivery as well. So I think it's free over $300 if you buy a piece of furniture through there. So they're kind of really hitting the customer service element on sort of both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, and one thing to note about Market Square is, you know, it shows you how mature the Chicago ecosystem is. Not that we have great first-time founders, but you have really successful serial entrepreneurs. This is from a co-founder and former chief product officer at Home Chef, which is the ingredient delivery service that is one of the fastest growing startups, not just in Chicago,
across the
but
street,
the
right? Yep. They're in the Wrigley building. Right. Will Flanagan, Jim Dahlke, great to see you guys. We'll talk to you again next Monday. All right, here we are on Monday. Earnings season is underway. And to help us understand all of that, Shiraz Mian is on a phone line. He's the director of research at Zacks. Shiraz, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, so tell me where some of the earnings started coming out last week, correct?
That's right. Yeah. So we have in the Q2 earnings season, some of the companies that have the fiscal quarter ending in May, we have been having reports from those guys already. But the June quarter results will start coming out this week, particularly with the big banks coming out on Friday.
It seems to me that Alcoa used to always lead the way on earnings season, but they don't quite have the same weight they used to.
That's right. And then they broke up and they no longer really even have that spot on the calendar. So it's up to the big banks now. And in my judgment, more appropriately as well.
That Alcoa might have been getting too much weight?
That Alcoa, it represented an older weighting of the economy, the industrial and material sector. No longer has the broader weightage that it may have had at some time. And it got way too much sunshine relative to its placement, in my judgment.
All right, so I think we've heard from, you correct me if I'm wrong, but 23 S&P 500 companies so far this season, right?
That's right. And yeah, so 23 index members have reported. It's still a much smaller a sample to draw any firm conclusions from, but for whatever it's worth, growth is tracking better than what we have been seeing from the same group of 23 index members in other periods. And the proportion of these companies beating estimates is also tracking higher. So it's a good start, but we'll get a clearer sense as we go further into the reporting cycle, particularly once these big banks start coming out with results.
What do you expect to see from them?
So the expectation is that we'll get about 6% earnings growth from the finance sector as a whole. They had very impressive results in Q1. The group as a whole has done reasonably well lately, though it has been struggling. I'm talking in terms of the stock market performance. But that's not so much a function of their earnings expectations than what's been happening to yields. My sense is that there is a chance of disappointment from the big banks. The investment banking and capital markets business hasn't been doing so good in Q2. We saw deceleration in loan portfolio growth in Q1, and most of us think that that continued into Q2 as well. And then there is the uncertain interest rate backdrop. So the room for a negative surprise from the big bank is very valid.
All right, so that's the banks. Tell me about some of the other the areas of interest. I mean, I'm thinking of energy, aerospace, technology, things like that.
So technology is really the key thing that everybody is looking for strong numbers from. The expectation is for double-digit earnings growth, and I think we should see strength from technology. They had good numbers in Q1. There's concern about valuation and stock price momentum in the market lately. In fact, all of the tentativeness broadly in the market is primarily centered on technology. So if we get strong numbers from technology, that should give some confidence to folks about stock prices in that sector. Beyond technology, what we have been seeing for the last two earnings seasons is that these international-oriented companies, the multinationals, have been doing a lot better. Technology, obviously, is very international-oriented too. But materials, industrials, and some of the consumer companies should do better. There's an improving outlook for the global economy, the emerging markets, Europe, and other regions. There's been broadly positive commentary coming on those from those parts, and that should show up in the earnings results as well.
Talk to me a little bit about revisions, because you write about, you know, that revisions have become a little more commonplace, revisions downward in recent years, but there might be some improvement or a lessening of that coming up this year.
That's right. Yeah. So we for the Q2 earnings season, we saw that earnings growth expectations for the S&P 500 dropped from 7.9% at the start of Q2 to 5.8% now. And this trend of negative revisions, as you pointed out, Steve, is in line with what we have been seeing over the last couple of years. But what's positive in Q2, and we saw some evidence of that in Q1 and the quarter before that as well, that the pace and magnitude of negative revisions has been decelerating. And in simple words, what that means is that estimates are coming down, but they're not coming down as much as we had been seeing in prior quarters, and that's a positive. So the smaller negative or less negative revisions is a positive trend, and that'll be the key thing to watch as we move into this earnings season as to how much estimates for the September quarter will come down. If we see this continued deceleration, that'll be a reassuring and positive development.
We have seen some upward revisions, haven't we, as well? And I'm thinking of local companies like, Caterpillar and United Airlines, maybe even Deere.
Absolutely. We saw we did see off the 16 ZAC sectors. Three or four has positive revisions. Industrial, you rightly point out, Caterpillar came out with positive guidance. Deere was one. Transportation is expected to do better. Estimates for them modestly went up. Technology, estimates for technology went up. Construction estimates went up. So it was a change relative to what we had been seeing in other recent quarters. When estimates across the board would fall, we saw estimates fall this quarter as well, but not to the same extent. And importantly, for these key sectors, estimates actually went up.
All right. So bring me back to bank stocks then. I mean, they certainly have been under pressure for a long time. Are we going to see perhaps this week that they've turned things around?
So that'll be the key. The key will be what happens on the loan portfolios front. What was really surprising in Q1, the previous earnings season, that even though they had very strong results, a lot of that was on the back of strength in their capital markets and advisory businesses. the core commercial banking part of the business wasn't doing so good, particularly loan growth has been decelerating since the fourth quarter of 2016. We saw that continue in 2017, first quarter, and we didn't really get a good enough explanation from management teams as to why loan growth has decelerated, and the expectation is that we'll see further deceleration in Q2. On top of that, when interest rates drop as they did in Q2, it has an impact on bank margins. So we will have less growth in loan, and we will have a relatively weaker margin on their core business, so that'll have an impact on their earnings. And we didn't really have a lot of momentum on their advisory and capital market side as well. And that was the reason why I pointed out earlier that I suspect that we may see negative surprises from some of these banks.
Shiraz Mian, the director of research at Zacks. Well, I hope you're correct in that optimism that all of that was already baked in. It was great to talk to you today. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You bet. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Randy Schaefer is in the studio as well. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Randy, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Randy is a digital media editor at the Tribune and talks to us about social media. I want to jump right in. This story about Facebook, kind of building their own town, right? 1,500 units because there's such a housing crunch in Northern California where all these tech companies are.
Yeah, so Facebook's looking to get into the landlord industry, and they're looking to build a, like you said, 1,500 unit, kind of like a mini living center. There's going to be some amenities. There's going to be like a public space right across the street from the Facebook building. And this is to kind of address the ongoing housing crisis in San Francisco
Bay Area.
And
there really is a housing crisis.
Oh, absolutely. The average rent, what did I say it was? It was $3,349 a month in Menlo Park, the average rent.
Which is well above New York City.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if you are a teacher,
right,
or you can't live there.
Right, or you know, if you're working at fast food or you're a janitor, you're taking, you know, a 2-3 hour long commute every day, you're essentially homeless.
And that's really the case, isn't it? That what's happening now is more and more people are moving further away, and that's creating all kinds of traffic problems as well.
Yeah, and so I guess in the past 7 or so years, more than 640,000 new jobs have opened up in the Bay Area, and housing just has not kept up.
And so Facebook is paying to widen a road as well or improve a road. It's a pretty amazing thing that there's been such an influx that the infrastructure just hasn't kept up at all.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy to see how many jobs have come in, and I know there's so many problems with BART, the Bay Area Regional Transit System, as well, just not being able to keep up with all of these jobs.
And it's not just Facebook. Right? Google, Apple, they're all involved in this too?
Yeah, I know Google and Apple both have kind of similar programs going on where they try to reduce the carbon footprint for all of their employees as well.
I think Apple is paying $5 million to Cupertino to sort of alleviate the housing crunch there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very interesting to see Facebook just kind of taking matters into their own hands, going to city council and saying, hey, we're going to build our own village.
Are they responsible for it? Or, I mean, I guess they're not responsible. The local government should be loving the fact that jobs are coming to the area.
Right. I'm not entirely sure because this is very interesting. It is all, you know, public land. Are they buying? I'm assuming they're going to buy the land. I haven't really. There hasn't been too much released about this.
No.
So it'll be interesting to find out where it goes.
And but another thing that in the story that struck me is that they're going to build these 1,500 units, but only 15% of them are going to be below market value. So what is this really going to help? It's not going to help as far as affordability at all.
No, but I guess more homes is always a good thing if there is such a housing shortage. That I know they're going to be open to Facebook and to people outside of the Facebook company as well.
Right.
So I guess if there are too few homes, more homes, supply, demand, something like that, this might
weird.
Help.
It's kind of like a company town back in the 1900s.
Yeah, very much like the Pripyat over in Ukraine.
Yeah, right.
No nuclear explosions over in Facebook land, though.
We're hoping for no explosions whatsoever. I know we had a short segment, Randy, but I'm glad you came in. Thanks
very
much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And maybe we'll go. We should get into land speculation in Northern California. Could we afford that?
I don't think I can, but
I don't think
maybe.
I can either. Randy Schaefer. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch.